So if you don't know, I'm Matt Maxwell. I am the visual arts director at Golf Course Road Church of Christ in Midland, Texas. I primarily am a storyteller for the church. It's a really great job in that I get to go out in the community, in the state, and internationally, and get to tell all the different stories that GCR is a part of and come back and report. And so video work is what I do for the church, storytelling. And I've always been intrigued with gadgets and smaller gadgets and smaller gadgets. And the iPhone is just one of my most favorite things ever made. And it gets better and better. As you guys know, the camera gets better and better and better every year. That's like beyond the iPhone 10, which was a big design change. The one thing that everybody wants is a better camera. And they consistently do it every year. That tiny little thing gets better and better. Where I shoot photography as well in town, and my wife and I own a little photo company. But I can't bear to bring that big old camera on vacations or around the house. And so sadly, I don't take any of these really beautiful pictures with this nice big camera of our kids because I have my iPhone. There's no reason for me to do that, I feel, because it's just right there and it's in your pocket. So that's what this class is about. Shooting, not photography, we're going to focus on video, doing videos on your iPhone and what that looks like and how easy that is, the many different options. We're going to discuss some fun toys. That's something I don't think Pepperdine has enough of, is some real good visual aid and toys that you can play with in these classes. So I hope that I hope you enjoy it. As I said earlier, we're going to watch a commercial that Apple did for their 30th anniversary. And it is, I think it's just called 30th Anniversary Commercial. So let's take a look at that. Here we go. Watch the making of this real quick. I just get intrigued from behind the scenes videos from the old effects. You remember those? The TV show? They would show like the effects behind Terminator 2 or something. And man, I just love that. And that's what kind of got me into video and film. So we're going to see the behind the scenes. That commercial was directed by Ridley Scott. Does anybody know the significance of why Ridley Scott would have directed that? Because 30 years ago, Ridley Scott directed the famous Apple Macintosh commercial. Was it Fahrenheit 451? Is that what it was based on?
Yeah.
Where the girl's running and she throws the hammer at the big screen. What was that?
1984.
That's right. Because it was 1984. They threw the hammer at the screen and it was a famous commercial. One of the most famous. And anyway, so 30 years later he directed this one. All in one day.
is the whole of January 24th for 36 hours, starting in Melbourne, Australia.
I want to see the circle running out at that moment.
Finishing on the west coast of the United States of America.
As you can see, we've got Seattle, Tokyo, Paris, Aspen, Los Angeles.
Each crew has one or several iPhones. They have a receiver in a backpack, so we're receiving the data that's being shot for this film through the iPhone, but then we're also simultaneously communicating via FaceTime with First Assistant Director,
that's great.
Who is standing next to our cameraman. It's exciting because it's spontaneous.
Really nice. Move off them into that view.
That's what I love. Capturing the essence of the moment and it being truthful, as seen through the prism of this device, I think is really rather lovely.
So, beautiful little commercial. I'm showing this because I want you to realize, again, these are just tools, and it's the person behind it telling the story that captivates you. It doesn't matter what it was shot on. It could be shot on these older iPhones, and it's still captivating. You guys know Steven Soderbergh, the director? His last movie, Unsane, was shot entirely on an iPhone. It's in theaters now. He has been quoted as saying that he's never going to go back from shooting on a small device like an iPhone. His next feature is a basketball film, and they're shooting it right now on the iPhone, which is just mind-boggling that we are in that day and age that anybody can pick up a phone and make a film that can be seen at the theaters. So, that aside, we're not making films for theaters. We're making films for Facebook, for Instagram, for the people at our church, for people we want to communicate and tell stories about what we're doing in our different ministries. That's what I hope you're here, and that's what I hope you guys can get out of this. So what I'm about to show you... Oh, this is Steven Soderbergh right here shooting a scene for the movie Unsane right here. And so he's using some equipment we're going to discuss. This gimbal right here is $130. You know, the iPhone is however much. They're more expensive than they should be these days, it feels like. But yeah. So what I'm about to show you is we went out and shot a fake ministry video for a tutoring program that we're involved in Midland. Down the street from our church is Midland Lee High School. And every Tuesday we're involved with communities and schools and go and help with a tutoring class after school. And I've been involved with it for a couple years now. And so this is an example of a ministry video I would shoot for our church. And I'll probably end up using it somewhere, but that was not the intent. The intent was to shoot it for you guys, to show you the different options. So what I'm about to show you is the same footage shot or edited three different ways. One way was edited in 5 minutes, another one was edited in 20 minutes, and the other one was edited in about 3 hours, and showing you the differences you can do. So this is the 5-minute version of the edit. And I want you to know, this was all done by the app itself. Decisions were chosen by it. So there's some mistakes, some clear mistakes. But if you're just trying to get something out quickly to Instagram, which is the day and age we live in, we got to get stuff out quick or it doesn't matter. So this is how you do it. You go and shoot, throw it on your iPhone, make a quick video and get it out. So this hasn't been color corrected, audio's weird and off. But again, it's a fine little piece to show on Instagram. I did it so quickly I forgot to change the title in the beginning. A Few Days in Midland doesn't make sense. Same footage. This is the 20-minute edit. So that's my son. He and I go and take coffee to these students. That was much more, 20 minutes is longer than 5 minutes, so I was able to actually make some cues and cuts. And here's the 3-hour version that I edited on the airplane here.
Science or math. I mean, that's why I'm into visuals. That's why I do videos and photography. It's in the arts that I'm more talented in. But I do love coffee. I have a passion for coffee. And through that, I go and hand deliver coffee to each of the students who want some.
One of the things that became clear to me as soon as I started volunteering and tutoring was how much I had forgotten since high school. I was a Bible student in college. That's all I studied. And so my math is terrible. And I can barely help with English because I do Greek grammar, and that carried over some. And no one's coming in for church history stuff. I can help with culinary arts and social studies and helping people write essays. I've found ways to help that have been beneficial for the students.
It's a ministry that my 4-year-old son and I get to do together. He and I take the coffee from the church building, and then we just take it right into the school, and my little 4-year-old loves it. And we go to each table, and we ask, would you like some coffee? And they say yes, and so I pump them the coffee out of the carafe, and my son asks if they want any creamer. And usually these kids like a lot of creamer. So Henry goes over and counts. He's using his counting skills and counts out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 creamers for these kids. They drink a lot of creamer.
There are people who are right down the street from them. We're a block away from that high school. I hope that they feel that love coming from this place, that they know there's someone a block away that knows their name, that cares what's going on for them at school, who cares about what's going on at home, that if something comes up, they have a place to turn to. One of my favorite things has been seeing some of the students show up in the church office from time to time because of those relationships we built on their home turf. They felt comfortable because of that to come and hang out with us here in our place.
So a bit of a difference, huh? 20 minutes to 3 hours, and there's still some issues in there, but it's a pretty polished piece that I was surprised at on the airplane, on the Southwest flight here. So please stop me if you have any questions. I'm just going to keep rolling. Do we have any questions right off the bat?
How long did you spend shooting the footage for that?
That was over 2 tutoring days. One was without my son. I didn't tell him that we had tutoring that day because I had to get some of those nice shots, those close-ups, and that's with this device that we'll get to soon. And then the other one was I'm usually behind the camera. I don't like being in front of the camera. But I like my story of my son and I doing this together. So I had a friend, a high schooler, just take this gimbal thing and follow me. He's never used it before. I don't know if you noticed, but that was some really smooth footage. It's some tracking shots, and he's never done it before. We'll play with this, and it just allows you to get some really smooth shots. So that was over 2 hours from over 2 days. And then the interviews, we had 30 minutes to shoot those on this last Thursday, and so we just quickly shot those.
You mentioned the app made the editing choices on the 5-minute video.
Yes.
Which app?
I'm going to get to that. Yeah, I'm going to get, yes.
We use the green screen at our church, so we have a couple of men that do it, but I'm very last minute, so I was wondering if I could do this with, use a green screen with an iPad.
With this app, you can, that I'll show you, okay. You can. I haven't done it yet, but there, I saw the option to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I want to empower you to do it, but I also don't want those guys to lose a job. So, any other questions right now? Okay, so I'll continue, and maybe I'll answer some of the questions that may be lingering. Okay, so we're going to talk about some of my favorite tools. The light sand mount. I mean, this is just so cheap and so easy. This one right here is a portable one, so it was more expensive, around $45. But you can get it on Amazon for $15 to $20. This light stand, it's got an 8-inch little screw on top. And then these guys, which hold your iPhone, man, tangent real quick, everything is just getting so cheap. And because someone has a great design here in America, and sadly it gets copied in China, and then it gets copied again and again. And all of a sudden, it's just dirt cheap. And I hate that for some people. I love that as a consumer because it just makes everything much more accessible. So what I was saying, these mounts used to be $40 because they were metal and high-end, but now they're plastic, which isn't too bad. But again, $6 on Amazon. So you put your iPhone in here, and you can change different size iPhones or cases. So I use that for time lapses or as a second tripod. Tripods are more expensive because they work well and they're better than a light stand. But a light stand, if you just need something to stay still and not touch it, that's the best thing you can do. The next one is a new toy that, man, again, about 5 years ago, gimbals hit the market for professional cameras. And I'm blanking on the company that kind of really marketed it, but they were $5,000, $6,000 for a good gimbal system. And then they started making them for iPhones about 2 years ago, maybe three, and then you couldn't get them for less than $400. And I have one, and it's just terrible. And this guy came out, DJI. DJI is the company behind all those drones. Like, you know, you think of the classic remote-controlled drone, that's the company, DJI, the little white guy, and now they have all these collapsible ones. But they're blowing up in China. They're a fantastic company, and they created this one called the Osmo a couple years ago for $350. Another company came in, copied them, and made one for $140, which wasn't as good, but good enough for $140. And then they came out with Osmo 2 for $130, so that's with this one right here, which is fantastic. And then that other company dropped theirs to now $100. So they're just so cheap. And if you guys don't know what a gimbal is, let me show you. So I'll just pull up like my video app, and I hit it. I'll just set it in here, and I turn it on. And all of a sudden, it gives me... We got level, if I shake it, move up and down, it smooths everything out. And so, like, if I want to do a turn, I turn it, and it slowly turns it. If I want to go down, it slowly turns it down. So it makes all your movements very, very smooth. You can change the setting, too. Like, I'll set it right here, and I push a button. So now it won't go up and down. It just stays at that level. So this is great if I want to do a classic like crane shot. So I go down, I go up, and then, you know, it looks like I have a $50,000 crane in here just raising up. It's a marvelous tool. So I'll pass this around. Don't worry, you can break something, but I don't think you're going to. So that's the gimbal. So the next thing is the B-Script Pro. And this is one of those companies that came out with a great idea. It was a bunch of two young guys, I think out of Chicago. And they had a great Kickstarter campaign for this thing called the B-Script Pro. And it's this guy right here. And the original intent was you have these lenses that screw on right here. And it's a more advanced version of just the clip stand. Because you have a hot shoe now, you can mount things in all different directions, you have these grips, which makes it great, and it really locks everything in, and you can adapt these different lenses. But these lenses acted the same as these. I don't know if you've seen these around on Amazon for super cheap, which are fun. They're just kind of like a fisheye effect. It's everything very, very wide, and it's just better quality because the lens is bigger. But then they decided to make this thing called the Depth of Field Adapter, DOF. And it's that dream of, you know, I have these really nice 35mm lenses for my camera. Man, I wish I could put that on my iPhone. Wouldn't that be cool? Well, they did it. And so they created this adapter, again called the DOF. And this is the Mark II, which just came out this last year. And the way it works is where it doesn't hit the lens on the camera, the image when it comes through the lens. There's actually an opaque piece of glass in here, and it basically projects onto the glass, and then the iPhone captures the glass in there. So it's like the lens is now projecting onto this, and then the iPhone is collecting that image. Well, in the process, the image gets flipped. So for a couple years, you had to shoot your image upside down. However, there's this app called Filmic Pro, which is not in here, but there's a setting to flip your image, and you can see it like you would normally. So I'll pass this around as well. And okay, so let me talk about pros and cons with this.
Do I have a slide?
So the DOF and the MK2 is just the adapter itself. It's not
separate. That's right, it's just the adapter. Great, great question. And it's for Canon lenses. So any Canon lens will work. You can't adjust the aperture. You have to adjust the aperture on the camera, like your Canon camera, and then take it off. You either remember that setting and then turn it on or put it on. So basically, you just want to open it up all the way and then turn it on. What I do is I buy these cheap Nikon lenses from the 70s and get a little Canon adapter. And these things are marvelous because it's manual focus, great manual focus, and manual aperture. So I can change my aperture, change my focus. These are $60 to $80 on eBay. So pros and cons. The pro is you get this great depth of field, which is when it gets really blurry in the background. Like all the cameras on the iPhone are trying to do that effect, the portrait effect. And they're doing it fairly well. The problem is with video. They haven't done that yet with video because you need a lens like this to have a shallow depth of field. And it makes it feel like a professional camera and not an iPhone. And so that's what this does. It gives it a very, it's not sharp, it's not tack sharp, but it has this kind of little dreamy effect, which is not bad. There's no image stabilization. So you're losing a lot with this. But what you have to realize is you're gaining that depth of field or that ability. It hasn't been copied yet by any other company, so good for them. But that's why it's the most expensive thing on here. That thing is $140, even though it's just some plastic and little pieces of metal. That depth of field is $270. And again, most expensive thing on here, but it's a tool for a job. And what I've been using it for is you know, on my tripod, getting in with those shots, doing a rack focus, which is when you focus from one thing to another. Or those interviews that I shot of myself and of David were all done on this lens and camera. Yes?
Can you zoom in?
You can. It also sucks up a little light, and the iPhone already isn't too sensitive, so it's better to have a wide open lens, and usually zooms are stopped down somewhat. But yes, you can. I mean, I've seen it. I've used my big, you know, 70 to 200 on this, and it looks ridiculous. It looks awesome. It doesn't look ridiculous. It looks awesome. But, yeah, you can do all sorts of crazy things.
I was going to ask, in low light settings, because of more control of the aperture, does that end up being a better scenario in those kinds of low light settings?
With this setup, no. Okay. You're losing light with this setup.
Okay.
Even if, right now it's at 1.4, f1.4,
yeah.
And it's still,
Yeah, it's still, you're still pushing it to get an image. So it's way better outside than inside. If you're shooting interviews, right. You got to make sure it's lit well. So feel free to play with this. Play with that zoom. And if something goes wrong with the app, just flag me and I'll help you out. The other problem with using your iPhone is if someone calls you, it's really awkward. Okay, I can't talk right now. So that's another reason that, like, I hate when we are upgrading our phones. I always try to keep my phone, and I have, like, two or three of them. My parents are terrible because they have a drawer of just old iPhones. They don't get rid of them or sell them. But I like that. So maybe think about keeping your iPhone for stuff like this. Okay, any more questions before I move on? When do we need to get out of here? 9:30? It's an hour, right?
Does putting it in airplane mode help?
Yes, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But then you can't, you know, when your wife calls you to, you forgot to pick up your son or something. That's never happens. Matt, it's tutoring today. Are you going to pick him up? Apps. We're talking about apps now. The main thing I use my setup for this is to do time-lapse shots. And you saw that shot when we went to Midland Lee Library. You saw everyone in that time-lapse scenario. Apple has a great time-lapse setting in the camera app. And if that's all you use, that's great. What I find is it's choppy. It's your classic time-lapse of time moving, and you can just see it kind of like, you know what I'm talking about? That stop motion look? And I don't like that. And there's ways around it. And you're always trying to do one up than everything else. And my favorite app is called Skyflow. And it might cost money. I don't know. Maybe $4. Somebody can shout it out. But what it does is it does... this is not Skype. Okay, let me back up. DJI Go. This is the app that comes with the DJI Osmo gimbal that's going around. And there's a setting on there to do time-lapse. Again, technology is just getting so cheap that they had this ability, this time-lapse setting, where I can move the gimbal around. Where is the gimbal? Oh, yeah, back up. You can move it around and say, start the time-lapse here, and then move it over here. And then this is my second point down here, and then my third point over here, and then fourth point over here. And you can set these points. And then you can say, I want this to last 6 hours, I want it to last 3 hours, and shoot so many intervals. And then you can get something like this. So I shot this yesterday. I pulled it up here, and then down here, and then come up. And this is motion tracking, which in Hollywood was super expensive 5 years ago. Super. And now we're doing it on this gimbal that's $130. Here's another example. So this is your classic time lapse. Everyone's kind of like jumpy, boom, 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 boom.
There's me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So this is holding it on the gimbal while you're time lapsing?
I put the gimbal on this.
The gimbal on that.
Yeah, yeah. And I just said, for 30 minutes, just do a sweep. And that was easy. And I set it, and I left, and came back, and it was done. Using that app, Skyflow, you do things like this. Do you see how it's much smoother?
Yeah.
It's not poppy. Isn't that fun?
Cool.
So I shot using the gimbal. And here's it going the other way. I was really tired.
Yeah. That was bad.
So this is using the app Skyflow. And it's basically, Skyflow is another classic time-lapse app. But what it does is there's something in there called long exposure setting. And every time the shutter opens, instead of just doing a quick pop, 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 it opens longer or mimics that, and that's why you get this motion. Instead of him being clear right now, you get this motion of movement, and you get a much cleaner effect, a more smooth, buttery feel. And again, there's a lot of playing with this and figuring it out, but you do that with... There's not very many apps that allow you to do this effect, and... that app. Skyflow is one of them. So if you're into time lapses, that's the one to do. Questions? Yeah.
What do you, as far as your settings for your iPhone, what are you shooting for? K, or how many frames per second? Is it matter?
See, now you're getting technical.
I don't shoot 4K on my iPhone. Like most people, I run out of space real quick, and 4K takes a lot. I haven't experimented too much with this depth of field adapter, how much more sharp it might look by shooting 4K over 1080p. From the image on the iPhone, I can't tell a difference. It's still a little bit blurry on the edges, and it's got that soft focus effect. So I shoot 1080p on that just because. So right now my world is still 1080p. I haven't jumped to 4K yet, mainly for space reasons.
Okay, so you can have all the great footage and time lapses you want, but the one caveat, biggest problem with iPhone is sound. Sound is hard.
And this is the reason I don't shoot primarily on my iPhone, because I have a nicer camera at work and I use that, but I use it because it's so much easier to get better sound out of, and there's just workarounds with the iPhone. That's another caveat about shooting on the iPhone. But with the right tools, you can get really close to professional audio capture. Okay, so these are some things I found on Amazon last night. In that interview, I think I have a photograph.
How's the Rode on the iPhone? Is it pretty good?
It's pretty good. Okay. It's, you have to get the settings right. Okay. And it's hard to monitor audio, and that's the thing. It's like, oh, I think it's good. So this is David and I shooting this real quickly on Thursday. I had this one mic. And the iPhone is weird because it has this different 1/8-inch adapter for audio input called TRRS, and you have to get the right one to make it work. And so you have to get a when you search on Amazon, you have to search for iPhone lapel mic or cell phone mic, and they will say this will work with my iPhone. And then the other issue is nobody has the jack anymore, so you have to use the adapter. But anyway, so It's rather short. This guy's rather short, so we had to do it pretty close, and it was stretched. I wanted you to see that here. But you can get some extensions on it, and so lapel mic is great. If you're doing interviews, this is the best way to go, and it works well. And this app called Filmic Pro, which you might have to pay a little bit for, maybe $10, you can set audio on there. I didn't have the audio set perfectly because you could hear them clipping in that ministry video I showed you. But it was way better than not having it. And that's me still trying to figure out the proper audio settings. So this is a good way to get proper audio. As far as shotgun goes, this guy, I was shocked to see it. It had great reviews on Amazon. It's just a shotgun mic similar to the Rode that's on that guy. That guy is about $230, the microphone, and people were raving about this little guy. Again, and it came with the right adapter for the cell phone. So it would just clip right on to give you better audio. And that dead cat, the wind muffle, it is the best. I mean, it looks silly, but it makes a world of difference.
What kind of range does something like that have?
I mean, pretty close. I mean, from me to you, that's far. It would be hard to tell the difference between that and the mic is already on my iPhone. But if you're up close, man, it's a world of difference.
World of difference. The other thing is this guy here.
I've been using this and really enjoying it. Ceramic, is that how you say it? Ceramic? I don't know. Never said it before. So this is the old version. I just saw this on Amazon, the new one that has the lightning port adapter already built in. That's fantastic. But basically, it's a powered XLR input. So any kind of XLR mic or wireless lav that you already have, or even a shotgun mic that you already have. You just pop it in and put some batteries in if it's not a powered microphone, and you're good to go. And you can even monitor sound off of this guy. There's a little audio jack.
For the people who don't know what a power XLR...
Yes, thank you. I'm so sorry. Some microphones require power to work, and usually a modern production camera will power that. It's called 48-volt phantom power, right?
Yes.
Phantom power. And this provides that. The lapel mics don't need it because they're so small. But when you use a bigger, like, shotgun mic, even that one that's going around, that one has a 9-volt battery in it. But this right here, if you need power, has the ability. I can have this up here if you want to see it. I don't know if it's worth passing around. It's that.
So, again, proper audio is key. To do a good iPhone production, you have to have all the pieces. I really enjoy it. These are a lot of fun pieces. The pieces are getting so much cheaper, and so it's a good time to get into this world.
Yes. Have you found anything that is like maybe Bluetooth or something like that?
No. Like no. I'm shocked. I look all the time.
I'm
like,
too, and I.
Where's my Bluetooth mic then?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I think that Atfilmic Pro just put out an update where you can use your AirPods as microphone input, but I don't want to have my talent wearing. AirPods.
Right.
Maybe if I was a YouTuber or something. I think that's what it was for. It's like if you're a YouTuber and you want to do it yourself. But no, there's not a Bluetooth option yet. And I think that's a prime market that someone needs to go into.
Does anybody else, does anybody know something I don't about that? Okay. Okay, let's talk some apps here. Man, there are so many editing apps. Just a few years ago, there was nothing. And it was just like, I would search and search the app store for what's a good editor, what's a good editor. My dream was, I had this wonderful iPad, and I couldn't edit video on it. That was so dumb to me. Is I love my, you know, they make it for people who can write books and all this stuff. But like, as an editor, I'm left out to dry with the iPad. And I hated that because I just had dreams of being in bed with my little pencil and just like, and that's not, you know, for years that wasn't available until just recently. And I'm talking about the more professional side of editing, the more strenuous, So, there, again, as I'm saying, there's some great ones. Apple makes iMovie, which comes free on every phone. It's a great mid... It's a great professional editor for people who've never done editing. And it's a great editor. I don't like it because it's just, you have to make some sacrifices. And if I'm going to do an extreme edit, I'm going to use LumaFusion, which I'll get to. But and then they also have a new one called Clips, which is a really fun app. If you've ever played with it, it's on your phone, I think. If not, download it from Apple. Apple Clips. And it does some really cool things. One of the things it does is you can... I think it's meant for more people who like to do selfie videos, but you can dictate... It'll dictate your words at the bottom, so you're like, you can caption your videos automatically as you do your video recording. It's incredible. Again, their technique to editing is... I just haven't captured it yet, and it's not... I'm not fluent in it, and... So I don't go to it. I do go to GoPro Quick, and GoPro bought this other company, and I forget the name of it, which had a great editor, and they just marketed it under their name. And it's called GoPro Quick, and it's a great editor because you can just select your footage, and it'll do everything else for you, like you saw. And you can also go in and be more precise. And so I made this fun video. So I captured my phone. I don't know if you know you can do this. You can screen capture your phone now as you do stuff. So I screen captured my phone as I edited these three different videos. And so this is the 5-minute one. This is the 20-minute one. And this is the like 3 to 4 hour one.
All of them were edited on your phone. Right?
Yes. Oh yeah. All were edited on my phone. You're learning so much in this class, aren't you?
Yeah. I would love that. If I had my phone, I'd show you, but it's blown around somewhere.
I'll show you afterwards, or I'll show it at the very end. Remind me. It's a setting that you have to pull up on, or if you know how you can. So yeah, did you guys see that? This one's just way easy. I just went through and selected my clips, and it did the rest. And then this one, same thing, selected my clips. The way that makes this one different for the 20-minute edit, and I know this is just pointless because you can't follow it. The difference is you select your clips, and if you go in on the timeline and you say, you mark it with the highlight and say, this is the part of the clip that's important to me. You go to the next, and you can do several of those. You go to the next clip you have, and you say, I really like this second when my son turns around, and you just highlight it. And then it goes through and uses around that area that you highlighted, so you can be more precise in the edit. Other than that, it still does everything for you. And when I say that, it's honest. You go in and you select, I'm sorry I don't have this up here, but you go in and select your clips, and then you select the theme you want, and it already has music there for you, and it has those graphics, and you just change your title. You can say how long you want it for Instagram or Facebook, or you want 2 minutes, and it does everything else for you.
And is that the GoPro?
That's the GoPro Quick. Yeah, these two are the same. It's just I didn't do any of the highlighting section. I just said, you decide. And then I made more decisions on this one. And then LumaFusion is here. And if anybody is familiar with Premiere, does anybody actually use Premiere? I'm a big Premiere fan. And this, for those who are in Premiere, you will love this. Because this is basically Premiere for your iPhone. It's that's probably LumaFusion. It's the most expensive app I've ever bought. It, like, I had to kick myself. Isn't that weird? Like, $20 is... I just, like, waited a week to, like, push the purchase button. I had to read all these reviews and YouTubes. I'm like, it's just $20. It was just so hard to do it. It's a phenomenal editor. It's classic editing. You have your audio down here, your clips, and then you can have a second layer and then a third layer. You can double click, and then you can go in and set your levels and trims. There's all these filters. There's royalty-free music built in. Title. I can change my color. I can actually change my color with keyframes. So I can say it was more yellow here, but the auto white balance corrected itself. So I can say, make this more blue, but then go back over here. And it will keyframe my color correction. That's huge. And that's a professional editing ability that you can do now on your iPhone. So, that's the killer one. That's the one that has the chroma key, which is the green screen. So if you're wanting to do green screen, this is the app that has the ability to do it. There may be more standalone apps out there. I would imagine there would be for people who want to do green screen type stuff, but this one has it built in.
Can you also use your iPad?
Yes, great question. GoPro Quick, no. There's no iPad app. LumaFusion, there is, and it's better. It's so much easier because it's a bigger real estate, bigger screen. But again, I wanted to show you that you could edit it, a video like that first one on your phone. Okay, questions? I'm happy to pull it up. I mean, I was going to show you each of these editors, but for lack of time, I was just going to go through it. And I'm happy to show it to you afterwards. Come find me. Again, that's one of the things I love about it, is it has access to this royalty-free library. Good. And you find the theme. Some of them are pretty bad. But you can also, in both of these apps, access your music library. So you could be illegal and use whatever you want. And I'm not going to say I have not done that. But if you have your own song or have bought rights to a song, which we do all the time, you can access those specific songs.
Does your church's license thing that covers
CCLI?
CCLI does not cover.
No, we use MusicBed. And there's several out there. If you're looking for music that you can purchase the rights to, check out themusicbed.com. It's phenomenal. My wife and I do wedding videos as well, and we just tell our brides to go on there and find music and
Katie, who are some of the big artists on there?
It's a lot of Nashville people, so Dave Barnes,
Brooke Wagner. Thousands, yeah. And like everything from like cinematic ambient music to, I mean, I use it all the time for my very emotional type ministry films. There's some great piano pieces. And, it's got everything. So check out Music Bed. You can search by theme and
project suggestions. They'll even
lyrical.
Their customer service is fantastic.
They'll do tempo too.
They do it by tempo. Yeah, it's just it gets way beyond me. Great site.
Last but not least, lighting is the one thing nobody really wants to talk about.
I am a big proponent, and I'm becoming more and more and more.
When I first got into this, I had to get the right lighting tools, and I had to get this, and learn how to shape lighting. There's a art to lighting. There's such an art, and I am not an artist in that way, but I know I can get by. What I find is the best lighting in my interviews are always done by window. It's the cheapest, it's the easiest, and it's the most beautiful. And you can get some really soft lighting from placing your talent in the correct position next to a window. But when I do need to have more controlled lighting, again, I feel so bad for these companies who come out with great technology and then they get ripped off, but we're reaping the benefits of it here. This LED light wand, which you can get for $50 to $100, is ripped off from this company that is Wascot, and they made the Ice Light. Same idea. It looks like a lightsaber almost. But theirs was $600, and you can get it now for $100 on Amazon. And it's a great tool. So it's daylight balance, but when you need tungsten, you just slip this sleeve over. It's about yay big. And it's great soft lighting. And then these LED and lighting kits, there's nothing that better than a light box. It's more of a hassle to carry around. But, again, it mimics a good window because it's the size of a window, and you get real nice soft lighting. Let me see if I can go back to this slide real quick. So this is just kind of a rule of thumb. When you're shooting an interview, always remember to shoot on the dark side of the face. So you can see he's lit by the window over here, but the camera is angled on this side. So you want the light on the opposite side. So that's my one little gift for you as far as lighting. Here's the room that we shot the interviews in. It's our prayer room at church. I positioned it so David sat here. This was our key light. This was our main light. And then we had this one back here for kind of a rim backlighting that was provided a natural backlight. So, again, it's all about positioning, putting someone in the right place, finding the right windows in your church or house or wherever, and you can do some really, really great interviews. The one problem that you don't really see in the video, but I was having an issue with it in the edit, was clouds. So all of a sudden it got darker and it got lighter and I was constantly having to adjust. So it's not perfect, but it's free. Guys, I mean, I'm kind of coming up to the end. It was a mad rush. Hope you got something out of it. But let's do questions and what else can I answer and show you?
When you're doing like sermon videos or something like that, and I know that I hear that sometimes it's good if you're not necessarily doing like a Facebook Live, but if you're just recording, you can record on one phone and then like do the audio on something else and then try to get, you know, like maybe a lapel mic or something. And like, can you put the audio from one to the video of another?
You know what I'm saying? Yes, I do. Okay, so if you guys are writing down tools, there's a company called it's an audio company. Can someone help me? Tamron?
Yeah.
They have a lapel recorder, and it's like a wireless lapel, but it records to the recorder.
Okay.
And so I use it all, I'm shooting a documentary right now,
and they all carry it. And so I can have, and they're $200. So that way I can have four or five of them.
Okay.
And then in Premiere, you can sync that sound and sync all those clips up. Sadly, I've looked at, that's my next wish, is one of these editors have sound sync.
Okay.
And I'm waiting for LumaFusion to do that. I, as you saw, I shot two iPhones, a wide and a tight. And the way I edited it is I just had to match it. I just found that part of the scene and then overlaid a wide shot over his other one and just matched it myself.
By
eye.
If you're coming out of a soundboard, though, there's a thing called iRig, I mean, iRig 2, that's basically a guitar hookup. Well, that's
or
what we
iPhone,
use.
Right?
And we come out of our soundboard into the iRig straight into the iPhone.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Oh, so I didn't know. Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah. If you're trying to sound sync for live, is that what you're wanting to do?
Well, not necessarily, just for if you're going to record a video server or something.
Yeah. Again, that, as I said, that's the caveat with the iPhone. It's that's one more thing you have to think about. It's like, how do I get proper audio input into this thing?
I actually had a quick question about the music. Music was my, has been my biggest thing. Is I'm always scared I'm not going to do the Creative Commons correctly. So the music bed, I found that a few years ago, and I was excited about it. Then I saw the price tag that could go with it. Like, if I had the amount of money, I wish I did. But, you know. So is it like, what generally, what's the cost of using music bed? Because the only thing I found are, like, the free music archive online, which is, like, 90%.
So here's the deal with music bed. You're exactly right. I mean, songs are $49 to $79. I think it's $79 for church. And you can use that for one video. Yes. And this is where I get a little bit gray and fuzzy, and I get these songs and use them all the time. It's to the point where people are like, Matt, he's in that song again.
They're changing their
home. I'm about to get to that. Yeah. So that it gets a little bit gray for me there, and I'll just say I purchased it. I just have used it for a lot more videos than that one. They are changing their model, as my wife was saying, to a subscription model.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the pricing on that. Do you know the pricing on that?
No, but if they're going to compete with another company, it's going to have to be around $200 a year, maybe $400 a year, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is pretty shocking. That'd be incredible.
Yeah.
There's a company that I use called SoundStrike.
Soundstripe? I don't
you
know.
You can
that.
Either do it
sure
monthly. You can either do monthly. It's $15 a month. And you unlimited downloads.
Wow.
Or, it's pretty good.
Oh, check it out.
They've got different. You can search by mood. You can search by instrument. And it's got a nice library.
That's awesome.
And or you can pay for the year, and it's like 100 and some odd bucks a year. So I mean, in the long run, it saves money. But if you have a month to month. There's no reason you can't. You can download all you want.
Yeah. And what I love about those is what you don't get in the iTunes store, you can't search by mood or instrument or tempo.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's in a service in and of itself.
And you can search, I mean, it gives you various links. You can search, and when you go download a file, you like, I like this song, I want to get the license to this or whatever. It'll give you a long version, a short version, I mean, and it's.
That's
you don't have to spend as much time editing the audio to paper off here. It's
for
nice.
Sure.
It's a neat resource.
Yeah. Thanks.
What about saving space? Because video uses up so much space. Do you just upload it to the cloud, or do you
put
it on your computer?
No, I love the cloud. I hate the cloud.
Yeah.
I don't use the cloud. That's not true. I use Dropbox and iCloud to an extent.
Right.
I don't store my photos there or video there because there's so much. On a monthly basis, I do a dump. Are we all mostly Mac people here? There's something called Image Capture. It's an app that's barely known. It's an old app. And basically, the use of it was for when we had SD cards. You plug in an SD card, and you would select these photos and download it to wherever. It was a photo downloading app, and but all of our different apps now incorporate it, so they don't use this standalone app, but it still comes with the map. And it's called Image Capture. And I say this because it recognizes the iPhone, and because iTunes and iPhoto make it so convoluted of where are my photos? I just want them in this one folder. And so Image Capture, you can go in and say, I want all, just give me everything. Dump it to this one folder, and then just delete, get it off my phone. I don't want it on there.
Right.
That's how you have to do it. Image capture.
And do you do most of your editing on your Mac or on your phone?
Oh, Mac. Right. I mean, yeah, I don't want to steer you guys wrong. This is fun. I love it. I'm so much more efficient on my Mac. But there is times where I got to get something out, and I'm out and about, I'm on an airplane, and you can shoot. You can do just as good as edits on this as you can on a computer. And it's incredible. That LumaFusion is still just, it shocks me every time. I didn't know you could do this. And they're constantly updating it. They're a great company. Worth the $20.
Do you know if any PC storage options are
for iPhones? I don't know what the equivalent image capture is to that. The other app I want to recommend to everyone is Google Photos. It's phenomenal because it's what photos should be on Apple. It's basically, it uploads your photos and videos to Google servers for free forever. And I have loaded every photo I've ever taken onto there. And it's great because, and it automatically catalogs it. And yes, Google's going through all my personal stuff, but I don't care. And I go in, and I was like, Katie, what's that photo from? Who did we see here at LAX the other day? And so I just typed in Los Angeles International, and it pulled up every photo that I ever shot while in the area of Los Angeles. And in a matter of 30 seconds, I found a photo from 2012 that I shot. And it's amazing. So Google Photos, huge fan. And I'm still very, very mad at Apple and Apple Photos because how much they charge. Very convoluted. Yeah. I wish it was better.
So Google Photos is on what?
It's an app. It's an app for your phone. It's an app for your iPad. And it's a web app. So Google photos.google.com. And it just basically it stores your photos within your Google account. And it catalogs them. It automatically recognizes faces, dates, GPS locations. It's great. And you don't pay for it. That's the thing, is I have thousands of photos on there that I can access at any time, anywhere in the world, as long as I have an internet connection.
Sure. Okay.
I still store my photos on a hard drive, safely off somewhere else in my closet, but if I want to access them, I always go to Google Photos. We're out of time, but let me say one more thing about that. The caveat is if it's higher than 16 megapixels, it'll down-res it to 16 megapixels. But right now, the iPhone still shoots under 16 megapixels. So your photos are pretty much identical when they get uploaded to Google. All the more professional photos I've shot on other cameras get down-res, but still, 16 megapixels, you can print a 20 by 24 with no problem. And how often are we printing 20 by 24s? How often are we printing, period? So that's the thing. It's for convenience sake. And they also bought one of my favorite editors for iPhone and built it into Google Photos. So you can, I was going to show it, but I haven't played with it well enough. You can actually just select the photos and videos from years past, and it'll automatically open it up within an editor within Google, and you can simply make some quick edits and make some videos. Throw me. Was this helpful?
Yes.